Hello and welcome to Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll. I am Crash and Baron, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
Howdy, Internet.
This is the week of April 8th, 2022, and Will Smith has effectively lost his career.
Pretty much, I think it's like he's trying to not lose it, but at this point, I think he needs to go the full Mel Gibson and lose it.
Yeah, so that then he can have a good recovery story, like a comeback story. I agree, because yeah. It seems that disproportionately people have decided that they're going to punish Will Smith for a slap, which apparently is worse than a lot of things other Academy members have done in the past. Yeah. Quite a bit.
I mean, obviously, as we said last week, we are not condoning or defending what Will Smith did or anything. It's just there's also that certain degree of, oh, come on now.
Yeah, like, he apologized at the show. He apologized after. He left the Academy. Why is this still continuing? Like, it feels like he's done everything he needs to, and people are just lining up to finally kick what has until now been a fairly untouchable person.
Well, I think, to be perfectly honest, to some degree anyway, you've probably answered your own question. This literally is a previously virtually untouchable actor who is now extremely vulnerable, and people are just lining up to take their opportunities.
Everyone loves a chance to take a swing at the big guy, no matter what. And I'm just surprised that it's lasted this long. Like, you know, I feel like people, the audience, have moved on very quickly away from it. And it's the industry now that's like, haha, you ran this place essentially for 20 years. You got to, or hell, 25 years. You got to essentially be the de facto standard for Hollywood at leading man action type. And now we're going to take you down. Ah, it's just, oh, I really thought Hollywood was beyond that.
I mean, let's be honest, like, Hollywood is straight up not beyond anything.
Yeah, no, that's the sad truth, is Hollywood isn't beyond a goddamn thing.
But I think you have to add to that, you know, for the Oscars, like, this is a first. This is something that's never happened before. The Oscars are normally boring as hell. Personally, I don't care about the Oscars one way or the other.
Yeah, I mostly watch for the skits, and Amy Schumer is not my kind of skit.
Oh, yeah. No, there are things that even Amy Schumer needs to be called out for. But with this also, there's a simple fact that nothing close to what Will Smith did has happened at the Oscars in literally, about 42 years, like the exact span of my life.
Yeah, it's been... Like, the last time anything this interesting happened at the Oscars, was it the person streaking, or was it Marlon Brando sending a First Nations activist up to collect his Academy Award and essentially read the riot act to the entire room?
Oh, Brando was specifically what I'm thinking of, because, unfortunately, I don't have her name in front of me because, again, my computer just hates, but... The woman has said in interviews that as she was up there giving her speech, she could see John Wayne off stage being held back by like six security guards as he's trying to rush the stage to stop her. Because for those of you who don't know, John Wayne was basically a racist asshole.
Yeah, John Wayne was a Nazi. Sachin Littlefeather.
That's the one. Thank you.
And yeah, like, John Wayne made a lot of great films, but god damn it, was he a terrible person. Just a terrible person.
There's a lot that he did that even if you took that away, you still have to call him out because, yes, it was a different time, but this was the man who once played Genghis Khan in the movie. Which, wait, what?
To be fair, that movie gave him cancer in revenge, so balances itself out.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that sounds less to be fair and more to be karmic. With like Will Smith, of course, having announced he's resigned from the Academy. Couple of notes there. Specifically, what that actually means is, yes, with his resignation, he still gets to keep his Best Actor Oscar. Yes, he can still get invited to future ceremonies. He can still be nominated, but he's no longer a voting member of the Academy.
All the benefits, none of the responsibilities.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of glad you said that, because I was just going to say that I know someone listening is having that exact thought. And what I also want to point out is the disciplinary meeting that was scheduled for April 18th. That apparently was specifically because Will was an Academy member. With him resigning, they get to move that date up. And apparently that meeting will now, as of this recording, be tomorrow.
Oh, fun. So come Monday, we'll know if he's fucked or not.
So, exactly. As much as it may sound as if Will got off easy now, it's very possible that there is still more to come.
And, like, I don't think he got off easy at all. His contracts are being put on hold. He had an ironclad with Netflix. Netflix, who will put out hateful garbage from pissy little nobodies. And they are pausing this with one of the biggest names they were ever able to get a contract with. It's incredible. Namely because, of course, they have gone full steam ahead in the past with so many others.
Oh, yeah, but and the simple fact is that right now, hating Will Smith is cool. It's trendy. We had previously talked about how, yes, Will Smith is probably going to lose projects and stuff, but he'll be fine. And I had suggested earlier in a recording here about how he needs to do the full Mel Gibson from back in the day and just walk away from Hollywood entirely.
Yeah.
With these announcements and these projects just not being canceled or being put on hold, I would love to see Smith go to Netflix and go to whoever's producing the next Bad Boys. And what Emancipation, his series with the Apple TV that's also, I believe, now on hold. Ask to be let go entirely so that they can bring someone else, so that these projects can go forward. And the awful lot of people who are going to be affected by these delays and who are not big Hollywood stars, so will not necessarily be fine, can now get work.
Yeah, and thus a new generation, or at least kind of a silent underclass, will have respect for him and be like, yeah, but like he took his lumps intentionally, knowing that then we would be able to work.
Yeah,
like that's almost like a Tom Cruise level of respect that you'll get from that you know, like production in the industry, just being like, yeah, but like when shit goes to fuck, man is there.
Probably last thing that we hit on this before we go to the final thoughts on the whole Will Smith thing in general. I did want to mention something that came up about Chris Rock. Now, there was a video going around Facebook showing Questlove and the other producers coming up to accept their Oscar for Best Documentary. And you see Questlove stop to hug Will Smith. Go up to take his statue, and everybody there just seems to be completely ignoring Rock.
Yeah.
Because like you see him going, what the fuck? Now, I think I'm not 100% sure, but I do have a story here that may explain what happened. Joseph Patel, who's one of the producers, was apparently furious with Chris Rock, specifically referring to him as, quote, a fucking dick. And This is why. Apparently, the evening before the Oscars, during the rehearsals, and I'm quoting from Variety here, Rock took the stage to say, "I am presenting the documentary Oscar tomorrow for Best Documentary, and I just came from the rehearsal. So if you win, because you have like co-directors on it, I'm gonna say Amir Questlove Thompson and three white guys. Oh, you know I'm gonna say it too because I don't give a fuck." Here's the thing. The actual number of white guys is zero.
Oh no.
Joseph Patel and I believe the other co-producers are actually Indian American.
Oh no.
And Patel had taken to Twitter to say, amongst other things, "The reason that makes me so very angry is because I was so proud to be one of a handful of South Asians to have ever won an Oscar in the history of the award. I was ecstatic that I was the third South Asian to win that night after Riz Ahmed and Anil Kharia won earlier in the night for I think Best Live Action Short, The Long Goodbye. Three South Asians winning on the same night. That's never happened before, and it's meaningful, it's history." And he's 100% right.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is. And, it's kind of funny considering that Will Smith managed to take a bullet for Chris Rock moments before Chris Rock almost got it. That's bizarre. Like that's bizarre. If he had not walked up and slapped him, Chris Rock may be the one in shit right now. That's incredible.
Yeah, and like that's almost specifically why I wanted to mention this because as much as Rock should that joke did not need to be made in the first place.
Now,
At the same time, the way he handled himself after the slap, the fact that he did not press charges, people wondering why Will Smith was allowed to stay. Apparently, that was because of Chris Rock. The producers apparently went to Chris Rock and said, it was like, "The police are right here. Do you want to press charges? We will remove him if you want us to. Tell us what you want us to do." And Rock was like, no, I don't. I think I don't want to cause a disruption," kind of thing. Which, as much as he should be applauded for that, he also, I feel like, needs to be called out for this.
yeah, absolutely. Like, don't want to go all Hollywood conspiracy, but what are the chances Will Smith knew that something stupid was about to happen regardless? And it's like, well, he's already going off script against my wife.
Yeah.
Maybe I just got to stop this right now. As for the Questlove hug, they're both from Philly. Like,
Fair.
that's just
Yeah.
Philly. Yeah.
But also with that end, I'm just going to go straight into my final thoughts on this whole thing here. Will Smith needs help. Someone needs to check on this man and get him some mental health help of some sort. Because at one point when I was rewatching that same video, I'm sitting there going, this was like essentially right after the slap happened. So, from joke to Questlove getting his award, Will went from laughing at Chris Rock's material to hearing the joke and being enraged by either the joke or something that happened off camera, going up and slapping him, going back to his seat, and then getting up and happily hugging Questlove when he won. So he went really up and down in a span of maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, but from what I understand, like interviews, and I believe his psychologist or a psychiatrist wrote a book. That's typical for him. It's called Mr. Fluffy persona, where 95% of the time he is jovial, friendly, loving, generous, all of that stuff, and then 5% he's very angry because something didn't go right, and it just snaps in and out. So to address the previous statement, he is getting help, I guess. At least when his therapist doesn't then go and write a tell-all novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that I want to throw in is that in terms of tell-all, apparently Will is going to be doing an interview to explain like what happened from his perspective, which good. However, the problem on my end, at least, is where he's doing this.
Hmm.
It's going to be on his wife's show, Red Table Talk.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, it'd probably be better to, either don't do it at all, or let someone who doesn't have a vested interest in you do the questioning.
Precisely.
Yeah, unless she rips right into him, in which case, oh, we're going to see a lot of that clip. Speaking of people who are getting their careers taken away from them for public incidences of assault, Ezra Miller's career has also been put on hold and or stalled permanently. And this is not the first time, unlike Will Smith, this is not the first time he has been physically violent on screen or assaulted people off screen or threatened people. One time, in a truly bizarre incident, he threatened a chapter of the KKK, and it's just, what fascinating behavior. Anyway, so for those who haven't heard, Ezra was arrested in Hawaii recently for multiple altercations at a karaoke bar, where he was apparently upset about people singing a song. I can't remember what the song is. I read it somewhere. It's from A Star Is Born, one of the most remade damn films that they keep giving an Oscar to and going, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Anyway, apparently Ezra doesn't like other people singing that song.
Yes, there are certain rules with karaoke. Like, I've heard that there are karaoke bars in Austin, Texas, where if you go up and try to sing, I think it was Bohemian Rhapsody, by yourself, you will be basically, I think, booed out of the karaoke bar.
Yeah, and I'm fairly certain it is Japanese culture not to sing My Way, just because of how, essentially, if your boss got drunk, that's what you'd end up hearing. So now it's a thing of like, no one sings My Way.
Yeah. Now, also with Miller specifically, and Warner Brothers had in their track record of really dragging their feet on anything scandal related. Amber Heard, we're looking at you.
I mean, it's funny. People complain about how slow Disney has been to react, but they did stuff within weeks. WB is just like, have as many years as necessary for you to forget about this thing gone by? No? Yeah. Well, we'll wait more. We'll wait 5 more years and then put out another goddamn film with these people.
with Miller, there was another instance, at least a year or two ago in, I think, Iceland, where he was said to be almost play fighting with this woman, and then it escalated to the point where Miller like legitimately got violent and had to be pulled off of her. So I think Warner Brothers, with this incident, has now officially hit that point of, oh, we might have to actually do something about this.
Yeah, and like, it's one thing if it happens to one of their actors and they're just, you know, they're in one franchise. The thing with Ezra is they are in two franchises. In fact, they are like the kind of the concrete, the tent pole of what is left of the DCEU is Ezra's Flash.
Yeah.
And how they're going to do everything they can for Flashpoint to end with Michael Keaton probably standing over that Flash's grave going, well, he certainly died a hero. What do you think, Grant Gustin? And Grant Gustin goes, I'm just happy to be finally working for the big bucks. And that's how the movie ends. They look at the camera and go, aren't you finally happy we made it to this point? Finally? Finally?
Yeah, and I was actually going to bring up the Grant Gustin element, because that's something I've been seeing a fair bit of as well. And on the one hand, with Ezra Miller having appeared in the CW's version of Crisis, which from the moment they announced the Flashpoint movie, I was like, if they don't acknowledge that in some way, I have questions.
It's kind of funny. Marvel has had more control over the whole multiverse thing because of the way they've rolled it out. But because DC kind of allowed one of their departments to leap way ahead, now they're going to have to be scrambling back, and the audience is going to be like, yo, yeah, but at any point we can just go make another movie with the Snyderverse, right? Because you very clearly said that that's another universe that's out there that we can visit at any time. It's just, you just know Warner Brothers is like, why did we say that? Ah, why did we say that? Why did we agree to any of this?
Like, for my part, I'm kind of sitting here going, bringing in Grant Gustin, it's workable. But at the same time, I'm also going, I don't think he's a big enough name to do it.
I don't think he's a big enough name to do it, but they can definitely ride off the whole, like, he's been the Flash for 10 years. If we put him with Michael Keaton and then someone else for, like, you know, a three-character kind of trifecta going on, we could have something that's legitimately, like, fresh feeling, despite using entirely recycled parts. You know what would be great? Grant Gustin Flash, Michael Keaton Batman, Keanu Reeves Constantine, and that's the team. You can go anywhere you want with it. That's just like your touchstone. You just come back to that and then go crazy.
The only counterpoint I would really have, I think, is that if Warner Brothers was capable of doing something that would work like that, or to anywhere near that level, I don't think we would be in this situation in the first place.
Yeah. And it's bad enough that they're doing that with DC and their DC properties. It's two steps forward, one step back every time. Now they're facing that problem again with their Harry Potter franchise, because not only is Ezra Miller in those films and a very important character in the cast, but apparently the new film, which they didn't have to make, is a piece of trash. And, like, people were saying the Crimes of Grindelwald were a piece of trash, and it was. It wasn't a very good movie, but at least there were elements of, like, you can kind of see what's happening here. But this new one is apparently worse than that. And at what point does WB finally decide to stop flushing money down the J.K. Rowling hole?
Yeah, I've literally been hearing that this new, I'm blanking on what the franchise, this version of the franchise is actually called.
Oh, the Fantastic Beasts.
That's
and where to find them. Oh, wait, we're not doing that anymore. We dropped the premise.
Yeah, like, I've been hearing that this third Fantastic Beasts movie is literally in competition with Morbius for what's the worst franchise film.
Well, you know what? In that case, I'm just happy for Morbius because I was worried it wouldn't have any playmates. I just figured that all the kids would ignore it and you know, it'd be off in the corner.
That's completely fair.
I mean, without any Fox X-Men films, where are we going to get our terrible, shitty comic book movies from now, if not Sony and apparently WB?
So there's this meme going around where it's an image of Martin Scorsese standing in front of a poster from Morbius with the quote, I was aghast to find out it was based on a comic book. This is the truest height of cinema, and even I cannot top it. A wise man admits when he is wrong, and I was wrong. I apologize to all comic book movies. Now, of course, Martin Scorsese did not actually say this. This is a meme. It is not real. Someone forgot to tell Tyrese Gibson.
Oh, no.
Because he thought it was a legitimate quote and shared the meme, posting, unfortunately, I don't have his exact quote, but it was basically how thrilled he was by Scorsese's response.
Oh, no.
How thankful he was. How glad that Scorsese enjoyed the movie.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so disappointingly embarrassing.
And it's one of those that I'm kind of sitting here looking at Tyrese like, dude, should we tell him? You know?
Yeah, and like at that point, you have to delete it because it's embarrassing, but everyone knows, and once you delete it, everyone knows you know. You know? And yeah. At that point, I would be contacting my agent furiously, trying to get them to contact Martin Scorsese to say anything. Anything at all, so that you can be like, oh, no, no, I was in on the joke. What I'm referring to is this thing that he definitely did say, and his agents will agree, he said.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to either hope to God that this goes away very, very quickly, or somehow salvage it. I want to see them somehow salvage it, or at least try to, just so that I can know how.
I think what they should do is have Scorsese show up just to film a single shot for one of these trash films at some point. And then they can say, like, co-directed by Scorsese, and don't tell anyone what shot it is. Not even a scene, a shot. And you have to figure out which shot it is, and you'll have nerds dissecting it. This is the most Scorsese shot. No, you're wrong. This shot is far more Scorsese. Meanwhile, it'll be like a hand. It'll be a second unit pickup shot. Utter garbage. I love it.
Oh, cinematic Where's Waldo with Martin Scorsese.
Meanwhile, the secret is he's just like farmed out his name like Tom Clancy, and he's not doing shit. What the fuck are you talking about? I don't make movies anymore. I'm retired and wealthy.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I had an article from slashfilm.com pop up on my Facebook like literally 30 minutes before we sat down to record. And I just grabbed it because with the Trans Day of Visibility having just passed and Pride coming up in a couple of months, it's Lucasfilm casts trans actress Talisa Garcia in a Willow series, a first for the company, which I just wanted to highlight because press on something like this, you know, the more the merrier. And apparently her character is actually cisgendered.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, for once they're actually reversing it and they're going to get a trans person to play. Okay, yeah, cisgender instead of having Eddie Redmayne play a trans person. Yeah, good call, Lucasfilm, a.k.a. Disney. Willow. I presume something along the lines of Disney Plus. Yeah. Willow show. So tons of money, tons of effects. Willow. My God. Like, there's a film I haven't seen since the early 90s and haven't thought of since about the same time. Damn.
Yeah, no, we might have to put that on our list because I don't think I've seen Willow itself in a fair while either.
Yeah, it's like, I want to say I have seen Princess Bride maybe 3 times for every time I have seen Willow. And I have not seen Princess Bride much.
Yeah, now, On the one hand, apparently this is only going to be for probably a single episode, and it's a role that, she will play what's said to be a small role as a queen and mother to Tony Revolori's character on the show, possibly for only a single episode. However, Garcia's role is believed to be a speaking one. So on the one hand, obviously it's a tiny appearance. On the other hand, it's...
She's getting scale. Yay!
it's like you said, it's a reversal where that, like, you just don't really see that often.
Yeah, it's... And, like, I feel like it's a good thing. It is a good thing. It is overall a good thing. It being through Disney, I almost feel like it's not intentional. And they were just like, what? No, we don't pay it that much attention. We did something right? Oh, good. Tell marketing. Hey, marketing, we did something right. I know. It's so rare.
With you bring that up, the article does specifically say, according to Deadline, Garcia was already part of the Willow cast well before Lucasfilm's parent company, Disney, came under fire for sponsoring Florida's, I'm going to skip ahead and say, Don't Say Gay Bill. So them putting this out now could be trying to put out this negative publicity.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Just like how the greatest scene ever filmed has been restored to the Buzz Lightyear film. None of us have ever seen it, and no one knew it was going to be cut to start with, but they put the gay scene back in. Therefore... $1 billion profit, please.
Pretty much, yeah. with that scene, I think the reality is it's the same thing as when Pepe Le Pew had a scene cut from Space Jam 2 where everybody was going, oh, they're canceling Pepe, because if you've watched more than one episode of Looney Tunes, you know that Pepe is basically a rapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the reality is, it was a scene that was a Casablanca reference where Pepe was basically playing the Rick character, and a new director came in, decided that they didn't really need that scene, so it got, I think, cut before it even went to animation. And the reality is, would most of the audience from that movie have understood the reference in the first place?
The answer is no, and
yeah, exactly.
Ultimately, no one who saw that film can remember it. I mean, I'm struggling right now to remember it, and I absolutely watched it. All I can remember is Don Cheadle. I'm just happy Don Cheadle got a paycheck. Nothing else about that film matters.
I completely agree. For my part, beyond the fact that it, I think, did very well at the Razzies, I barely remember it myself.
But oh my god, do you remember the Space Jam album from the 90s? Holy shit, what a great album. I will never forget that album or that movie. Gosh, that was a much better film, wasn't it?
Well, not only what, I only mentioned this specifically because you said that, I had a TikTok come across my own feed where somebody pointed out that it's the same plot as The Matrix.
Yep. That was something that I was incredibly frustrated by when I learned it. And then I just figured, like, hey, things you enjoy are the same because maybe that's the thing you enjoy.
Eat it up.
Moon Knight Episode 2. Still on track for a pretty interesting kind of mystery-based show that, again, doesn't have that much action, but what has shown us this last episode was pretty damn cool looking. I was really happy to the introduction of Mr. Knight, a character that I instantly fell in love with the design of. We finally got to see Moon Knight, full-on Moon Knight, battling a jackal. That was awesome. and a lot of terrific physical comedy of Oscar Isaac fighting with himself and nobody. That was a fun episode.
Oh, it was with Oscar Isaac specifically. I'm kind of going, can we just give him a Best Actor Emmy like right now? Like, I know we're only two episodes in, but the work he's doing, like, it's, I'm sorry, this is award worthy.
Yeah, and he's playing multiple parts. Not just like, okay, you know, like, actors play multiple parts in films all the time, but he's playing really four different characters, if you think about it, possibly five to six once we get into it, because you've got Steve, that's one character, you've got Mark, that's another character, you've got Mark's version of Moon Knight, which is kind of like sort of Batman-y.
Yeah.
And then you've got Steven's version of Moon Knight, which is, going into the show, I had no interest in Moon Knight. I looked at the design of him and was like, yeah, Mommy Batman, all right, I don't care. But the second I saw Mr. Knight, everything just peaked. Just, no, there's what I want. There's what I'm watching this for. And I really liked the characterization. It wasn't what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like a more in control character. I thought it was going to maybe be Khonshu through that body. Like, this is how Khonshu himself would present. But I really like that instead, it's just Steven trying. And you said manifest a suit. It's a suit.
Yeah, no, like, if you're not a comic book nerd yourself and you're trying to will a suit into existence, logically, and yes, I'm applying logic to Moon Knight, go with me here, why would the first thing you think of not be a three-piece suit?
Yeah. And yeah, it's one of those tiny things of, we're so used to, as viewers, living within that world, and we assume that everyone else is used to, like, the tropes and everything. But clearly not. And that's what keeps it fresh and rich, is that even in this world that, you know, has gone through the snap and has been invaded, and maybe half of everyone is a Skrull, they still kind of, you still come across someone who's just like, what? The Battle of what? New York? New York was attacked? What are you talking about? I'm sorry. I have not been paying attention, because it doesn't affect me and I don't care.
And that is the joy of having a director and, I believe, writers who were not super familiar with what had came before in the MCU. So they're very much doing their own story and not really trying to connect to everything else, which, especially for a character like Moon Knight that a lot of people are probably not familiar with and is going to need a fair bit of building, good.
Yeah, and he's coming from a direction that seems so contrary to everything else. Like, okay, we've seen gods in the MCU. We've got Thor and the Asgardians and all that, but they were really clear in the first phase of the MCU that all magic is science. There is no magic. There is no magic. There is no magic. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. It's all science. So, like, we can't even call the Asgardians gods anymore. So, okay, we let's back up from that. We then get Black Panther. So we have, like, Bast, the panther goddess, who doesn't necessarily appear in the movie, like, appears in a story, a fable that's being told in it. But we see the effect of Bast through, like, the inclusion of vibranium and the fact that vibranium does have magical, well, not necessarily magical properties, but let's say properties of some sort of nature that is somewhere between holy shit and holy fuck. The Eternals, holy shit, holy fuck, of, it doesn't matter if it's so far beyond you, you can't even conceive of it. I can understand Marvel making sure that people come to it very slowly, because it's Egyptian, it's kind of out there, it's not what people expected. They're probably really happy that they got themselves out there before Dr. Fate and Black Adam show up, because suddenly DC's going to have full control over that narrative. And now, of course, they won't have control over Dick.
No, but that Nightwing movie is not coming.
That Nightwing movie is not coming.
No.
But I really love how, despite being 20 however many movies in and however seasons of like 6 to 10 episode shows and everything, like we are like 65 or higher of the MCU, and they're still taking their time with characters.
Yeah. You know, I did have one negative with this episode, which, like, it's a minor negative. I think it's more of a personal thing, which...
Blasphemy! Blasphemy! Heresy.
When we find out Arthur Harrow's origin, I was a little disappointed.
I kind of saw it coming, considering last time they said, like, oh yeah, clearly there are other... Like, there have been previous versions, and the way that Khonshu is just like, snap his neck, break his neck, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. It's like, oh, that's personal. You don't like each other. This has nothing to do with the great cosmic struggle. This is, you two are exes, and you never got over it.
A former Avatar who's been corrupted, gone to the other side, yada, 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 felt a little generic. And with the performance that Ethan Hawke is giving, which, if it wasn't for Oscar Isaac, he'd probably be the actor that I would be talking about the most.
I mean, yeah, like that's not a bad thing for Ethan Hawke, that he's only the second best performance in a show that so far has two really killer ass performances. I mean, sorry that you're only the second greatest actor in this fantastic show.
Yeah. That plot too was, like I said, a little underwhelming. But then on the other hand, we got to meet Layla. I kind of really like Layla.
Yeah, I kind of like her. I kind of like how Mark has already included her in it, so she actually knows more than Steven does. And Khonshu and Mark are trying to keep a few things from her, but it's more like situational and operational security, not secret identity. I have to protect her by not telling her anything. It's just, I can't tell her about this exact thing and where its location is, because that makes her a liability. She knows about the suit. She knows about the spying. She knows likely about Mark's history. And in the comics, the character she's apparently based off of, again, I haven't read any of these, but I have been doing a lot of research since, is based off a character from his origin, where he was murdered in the desert on a special ops. So, like, she's well aware of who Mark is. So I think it'll be really fascinating, considering their relationship seems to be, she doesn't understand that Mark is Steven right now, like really Steven. So what else has been hidden with this dissociative identity disorder? Like, she hasn't seen him in 6 months. That's an enormous amount of time. What specifically has been happening where she knows about Moon Knight previous to that, but not in the last 6 months? What's going on? Ooh, we're in episode 2 of a Marvel show, and I have questions. Who knew? What a concept!
Right? And a quick side note, if while you were watching you see a QR code, scan the QR code, because you will get a digital comic of...
Werewolf by Night, issue 32, if I recall.
This one was 33.
Damn it!
Basically, you're getting a digital copy of the comic that inspired the episode that you're watching.
Yeah.
Which, Marvel, nice touch.
That's a smart move. Now that they have most of their archive up and available on Marvel Unlimited, they should be seeding that stuff throughout. Like,
yeah.
Take the idea of free comic book day, when you just flood the market with origin stories and all that, and just post them through your shows. It's brilliant. And it doesn't cost them anything, because it's just bringing traffic to their stuff. People are then going to be like, well, now I have to read the next issue to find out where the next step came from. And then you find out that he doesn't appear in the comic again for a bunch of issues. So you just bought 7 fresh issues of a comic book from the 70s. And, you know, you might as well read them, but it doesn't matter. Marvel has your money now.
Yeah.
That happened to me with the Schalke run. I started talking to Dan Slott, and from there ended up reading the entire history of She-Hulk because that goddamn Marvel Unlimited app is so good. And we're not even getting money from them.
Oh, maybe someday. Probably not, but, you know, maybe.
Sponsor us. Sponsor us.
But you'd mentioned how Layla clearly didn't know about Steven. But I one of the things that I really liked was how willing she was to accept Steven. But that didn't come, like, right away.
Yeah, but she, like to get his attention, she kind of, like, snapped him by being like, Steven, I need you right now. And it's like, okay, cool. You were understanding that he's not responding to the identity of Mark anymore. You gotta adapt.
And as with the scenes toward the end where Moon Knight is fighting the jackal creature that, like, only Moon Knight can actually see. I like the fact that she was able to figure all this out and find a way to help anyway. Was again, that was again nice touch.
Yeah, I really like that. It's suggestive enough that they have enough experience that her initial reaction wasn't to just completely freak out. She worked the problem until she could figure it out. I would love to see a couple of flashbacks to some of their earlier adventures. Like, maybe when Mark initially became Moon Knight, it was just the crime fighter version, and that's what she's familiar with. And in which case, they have a bunch of cool crime fighter stuff. And then at some point, Khonshu stepped in more overtly, and it became... That's what the last six months has been, is like, no, my quest for justice leveled up, and now I'm suddenly an avatar for a god and not just some asshole running around at night throwing sharp things at people. Random bullshit, go. That reminds me, apparently one of the promotional images for this episode was indeed taken off Random Bullshit, Go. Have you ever seen... Yeah, where he just... So there's a bunch of wonderful comics online that are old Moon Knight panels that have been rewritten.
Oh, okay.
Specifically around Moon Knight demanding that Dracula pay him back his fucking money. It's wonderful nonsense, but one of them is him throwing like 3 or 4 different knives and one of his crescent blades and just shouting Random Bullshit, Go. And they actually used it as a promotional piece. It's kind of beautiful that this is being made by people who can appreciate the humor that people already know these characters from. They don't look at it and go, oh, that completely undermines everything we're trying to do. They just go, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's great. And also, speaking of the end, specifically when we find out essentially why Mark is Moon Knight and not necessarily trying to hold on to the role, but trying to complete his contract, so to speak. I'm going, I really want the next episode to be very Mark heavy.
Mm.
Because I really want to get to know this guy.
Yeah, and like, the last bit at the end when he's in the hotel room in Cairo, I've heard a couple of different versions of what that could be. One, it could be a third identity who is like a cabbie. He's kind of like a rough and tumble kind of guy, and that was a secret introduction to them. Or it could be a flashback, and that's Mark before any of this happened. And we're going to finally get through a Mark-heavy episode all of that delicious origin exposition. Yum, 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 yum.
Well, it could be. I mean, like, having the reveal that it's basically, if Mark doesn't do this, Khonshu is just going to go to the next person in line to be the Avatar. and it's Layla. Kind of a big thing there.
Yeah, and also suggests that, okay, then Layla probably was again present when Mark first was chosen by Khonshu, because it's like, otherwise, why are you just choosing this random person? I am sure there is someone else far more applicable, but if you were there at the time, it's like, well, it's you right now, but she was standing to your left, so it could have been her if she wasn't standing to your left.
You could go that route, or there could be a reveal of something in her character or in her history that means she was always destined to be Moon Knight at some point.
It was through her that F. Murray Abraham murdered Mozart.
That could work.
She was his unholy hand. Yeah, yeah. Everything has to tie back to Amadeus, and if it's not tying back to Amadeus, it at least has to tie back to Last Action Hero. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Real Geeks Presents the B-Roll, a bitch and fitch, I suppose. I've been Crash and Burn. You have been Mike Montgomery. Mike, do you have anything else to add?
Just as always, if you have any questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, advice, we don't care. Feel free to drop us a line at realgeekshfx@gmail.com. Even if only because, frankly, I would love someday to do an email episode. Also, a quick note. We had previously announced that we were going to be doing Sonic 2 for our next review. And then I found out when Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to be opening. And I kind of really want to do that one.
Yeah, yeah. Especially since it's a better movie. Sneak peek for 2 weeks from now. I saw Sonic 2. Eh.
Yeah, well, I think if you go back to our review of the first Sonic, where I basically said the one character that I hated the most in the movie was Sonic.
It's going to be a really fun one. I
wasn't really looking forward to Sonic 2 anyway.
Yeah. No, it's... it's going to be a fun way to essentially recap the last 2 years of our lives. Hooray! Thank you so much for listening. Check us out next week. We're going to go take the weekend and chill. Try not to burn down Hollywood, kids. Thank you very much.
See ya!